Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Gary. How are you, buddy?
Dave.
Yeah. Speaking of old fashions, did you have one this weekend? Did you sit on the porch and sit back and enjoy some weather and have
yes.
A- yes.
I had a Manhattan on my cocktail show Friday, mm-hmm. and then I did some port on the Ooh. Back porch over the weekend.
Nice.
And I'm getting the dune buggy out, and I'm going to go coin diving a little later on. That's my Memorial Day weekend. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it?
It does sound pretty good. I was up in Wisconsin, so I had my share of old fashions before I left to come back to Chicago. So I hear you.
I learned
brother.
So much from your program. I learned that the Marshall Tucker Band is going to be in New Buffalo next month, and I was a huge Marshall Tucker fan back in the 70s. And they remind me of Chris Stapleton. I guess I feel that tie-in. Do you like
a
them?
Little bit.
Do you remember Marshall Tucker?
I do. Absolutely. Yeah. And Chris Stapleton, too. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
See? There you have it. Hey, you know, I know we've talked about this off-air and on-air before, but I was just talking to my buddy who owns a restaurant up in Wisconsin, and, you know, they can't find people. They can't find people to wait tables, to bus, to do anything. And there's not a lot of kids around. I mean, that was a rite of passage for us back in the day, was that summer job and getting out there and making some money yourself. It's different these days,
isn't
it?
I've talked about this recently, in fact, on my program, in that when you got a job in high school, you felt like you won the lottery because that was the whole economic base you had for whatever you wanted to do. I didn't sponge off my parents. We had six kids in the family. They weren't going to give us any major allowance. And when you got a job, that was everything you needed to get through those years. And I don't understand why kids of that age are not gravitating towards that. What's the problem? Are there? And I did have another stat that parents of 18-plus people that are still living at home, two-thirds of those 18-plus people, the age, are living off their parents and contributing nothing. They're getting money from their parents and no money coming back in any caliber.
Well, and this is a time where, I mean, businesses are just hungry to hire right now. And I know you know this. I'm not just going to do this to brag about my own kids or your daughter. I know your daughter's working, of course, in New York, graduated college and so forth. And my kids, you know, are 21 and 16. And my son's been working since he was 14 years old and worked for the Cubs for a while. He's waiting tables. My daughter's a hostess at a restaurant. And, you know, I want them to have not only their own money in their pocket, but with the way these kids are on social media and Snapchat and everything else, there's very little social interaction, and having a job does at least open those doors, you know, for future employment.
Why has that fallen out of favor overall? I don't understand why don't they want to do those jobs?
People are, you know, a lot of them are in sports, you know, straight through the summer. You know, they're taking extra classes. I know my kids were always offered extra classes, and they've taken them, but they've still worked. I don't get it. No, I have no idea.
No. Okay, well, we've solved that problem.
What was your first job?
I worked as a busboy at a pancake house in Oak Forest, and I was thrilled to get the job. I don't know what it is today. Maybe they weren't as plentiful back then, but I was so excited. And then I got a job as a cashier at a drugstore and spent a number of years. And this was my work ethic, and I think it was the Catholic in me. Even after I got a construction job, I kept the job at the drugstore, and they overlapped for several months where I would run from the construction job and then be a cashier at night at a drugstore. I felt that that's good to have, a safety net, another job in case the other one went away.
See, now I remember the construction job story that you've told me before, because you would listen to Lou Jack and so forth, and that's kind of inspired you to get into radio.
Yes. The moment, or two moments that were the moments, when I sent Larry Lujack, if people still remember who he was in the radio Zeitgeist, he read my letter on the air. I heard him talk about reincarnation. He was always talking about coming back as a butterfly. And I found a dead butterfly, sent it to him. I said, I think I killed one of your relatives. He read it on the air. And when I heard that on the air, Dave, I was thinking, okay, I like that. I like the way that feels. Maybe I can do something in that arena. And then I sent a piece to a radio station in Chicago. It was WSDM. Do you remember this radio station?
No.
It was all women. And this is 50 years ago. And think about this. All women on the air. The whole lineup was women. It stood for, SDM stood for smack dab in the middle, because that's where the dial position was. And I sent in a piece, and it won this contest, and the gift was a bunch of record albums. And I came down to get the albums, and they let me tour the radio station, and that was it. When I saw that, and then, okay, in this part, American Graffiti, when I saw Wolfman Jack and American Graffiti, that was the whole package for me. I had to be in.
Yeah, no question. I think my first, just to talk about that, my first job was building creek beds in the Des Plaines River. Like, it was not a glamorous job by any means. And then I worked for Musicland for years. But the broadcasting bug for me was, I think, seeing Bill and Walter. We had a family friend that was a camera operator at WBBM, and we got to go watch the 10 o'clock news and John Coughlin and, you know, all those guys, and Johnny Morris. And then I went to see Bozo, and then, you know, you're seeing, you know, Wally Phillips walking through the hallway, and you see Phil Donahue walking in the hallway, and I thought to myself, yeah, this is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's that moment. For those of us who want that, when you see that, when you're in the orb, you can't shake it, and you want to get into the orb as much as you can. And my moment of, oh, my God, how did this happen, is when I was working with Larry Lujack. The worlds collided right there, and I never got a point where I was, oh, that's no big deal. It was always a big deal to me.
Dude, same thing when I started working here, and I got to go sit down with Gary Meyer with his 50 million notepads, writing notes, getting all ready for a show, no question. We've got a lot to talk about, especially about Memorial Day. And hang on for a minute, Gary, and we're going to take a look at your traffic and a beautiful day ahead, Dave. Dave Plyer in for Bob Surratt this morning. We're talking to Gary Meyer. A lot of texts coming in. Love Gary. Met his wife and him on a walk to Wrigley. Signing off to listen to Gary Meyer. It's a must listen. Gary, we miss you so much. You're so entertaining. And this one is, Gary, you owe me money. That was fun.
That's that line that I always had when somebody would come up to me and say, hey, how are you? And they'll say, you don't know. I would always say, when they said, you don't know me, I go, do I owe you money? Because we always remember the people that we are getting our money back from, right?
Yeah, that text was from me. We can talk about that later.
Oh, okay. And I want to just piggyback on the Dave Hochberg thing there. Dave Hochberg is the best. Absolute best.
Good guy. Absolutely. Yeah. No question. So it is Memorial Day, and a recent poll said that nearly 62% of Americans don't understand the difference between Memorial Day and Veterans Day. Does that surprise you?
No.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't, because, well, it just doesn't.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, today we're commemorating our fallen, and we do. So we are celebrating Veterans Day, too. But then, you know, Veterans Day is really to celebrate those who have served and that are with us and no longer with us. But I'm a guy who truly embraces tradition. And there's something you've aired for decades on both Memorial Day and Veterans Day that really took you to the days of war, and something your father recorded many years ago.
I guess, getting back to Memorial Day, Veterans Day, the fact that we only have 2 days that are highlighting veterans that are alive and past, it seems that it needs to be corrected. We need more than 2 days, but we'll take what we got here. And yes, this tape my father made about 40 years ago at his kitchen table reflects on a battle he fought in World War II. And with that detail in that piece of tape, it's only about 13 minutes long, I started looking up on the internet other possible texts of people who were in that battle, and I found these other soldiers that are talking about these same things my father talks about on the tape, and it's amazing to get their perspective, because it all lines up. They all went through the same hell. And the thing that jumps out beyond the fighting and everything is the weather was brutal. It was the dead of winter. It was around Christmas, and on Christmas Eve with my father's tape. And they're fighting the elements of nature along with bullets and everything else. And I don't think this is on the tape. I can't recall right now. But my father told me that after they would have these battles with the German soldiers, after the fighting stopped, they'd go out into the killing field, and they'd notice that these German soldiers were 16, 15-year-old boys that they had just given weapons to, lying there dead.
Absolutely crazy. Well, you said it's 13 minutes. We picked a small segment of this, and you can hear the entire conversation tape recording at GaryMeyer.com. But let's just play a little bit of this just so folks can get a feel of this. Because, again, guys back then never talked about this. They never talked about this and their time at war. Let's take a listen.
It was a while when we heard tanks coming our way again and thinking that our armored forces finally broke through the stiff resistance. But to our dismay, it was the German armor that was in command. We all realized that our battalion was halted in reaching its objectives, and a handful of men that were in the outskirts of this small village were trapped. I now began to pray to the Blessed Virgin to save us. As I prayed ceaselessly, I closed my eyes momentarily and saw the Blessed Virgin dressed in black, throwing a black veil over us. We were watching the German tanks moving about the farmyard, hoping and praying that we would not be discovered. Daylight was soon upon us on Christmas Day. All that morning, everything was quiet, with the tanks in the same position, waiting to spit out the death and destruction. Soon I began to hear our artillery. The shells were slamming all around us. Then our planes began to strafe the whole area. This continued on for hours. Then we heard voices upstairs and they were yelling in German. We hurriedly fixed our bayonets and were ready for what was to come. I continued to pray the Hail Marys as we anxiously awaited. We all waited breathlessly as seconds seemed like hours. Soon the voices were gone and I thanked the Blessed Virgin. The shelling continued on through the night. We all knew that our forces were getting ready for another attack on Eschdorf. That attack came in the early morning hours. We could not leave our cellar, for we were caught in a crossfire. The top part of the farmhouse had now collapsed from all the shelling. Our planes began to strafe again and again. And after a long silence, we looked out in the farmyard and saw our GIs walking toward us. We all were overjoyed. The Germans had retreated. I immediately started running toward Hosterd, and suddenly my eyes were gazing upon all my fallen comrades. My heart was saddened as I continued to walk slowly back to town. And then I spotted my little Italian friend, clutching his rifle in one hand and his small gas burner in the other hand. He was killed Christmas Eve. Christ was born Christmas Eve. As I prayed in a small church on a hill, my thoughts were with all my fallen brothers, for God had called them to their eternal reward. I wish to quote from John chapter 15, verse 13. And here is how to measure it. The greatest love is shown when a person lays down his life for his friends. As I left the little church, the command was given to move out. For once again, we were getting ready to meet our foe. I asked the Lord to calm my fears and grant me a happy death should it come.
You know, it even surprised you, Gary. I mean, your dad, you said it was a man of a few words, especially when it came to this, that he actually sat down and took the time to do this when nobody else was home.
I'll never forget walking into his house on the night he recorded that. He had just finished recording it on his little Panasonic tape recorder, and he was sitting at the kitchen table, and he said, I got to play something for you, and he played it, and I couldn't catch my breath for a while afterwards, and he said, could you play this on your radio show? And we did. Steve and I played it on the show, and the reaction was unbelievable and has been ever since. And I heard you talking to the Vietnam vet earlier about PTSD. These guys and the Vietnam vets come back. There's no diagnosis of this, and you can imagine, I don't even think I can imagine, hearing the tape and the stories from these guys and women, I can't fathom what that was like. I can't even stretch my mind to go and see what they saw and all that. And they came back, and there was no treatment for when, and here are a couple examples, when my father had his heart attack, he was being wheeled into the intensive care unit, and my mother was standing next to him, and he turned to her and said, do you have the hand grenades? Wow. So he flashed back to the war.
Of course.
He was in bed one day and somebody slammed a door and he jumped up and he thought he was in a battle again. And that was all the PTSD that was never treated. And they lived with it. I can't even imagine.
I can't either. Well, I'll tell you, the whole tape, if you want to listen to it, and it is really pretty impactful. You can hear at GaryMeyer.com where Gary's podcasting. every Monday through Friday. Always a pleasure, my friend, and I'll
Dave,
I hope to see you
soon. Thank
you
for your generous time with my father's tape. I'm sure he'd be humbled.
Thank you, Gary. Thanks, brother. Thank you. Have a great day. All right.
Thank you.